This morning's reading is from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 907 in the Church Bibles. That's page 907, Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. God's love for Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me, even if they call to the Most High. He will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Judy, for that reading. When you came into church this morning, I hope that you were given a yellow card and maybe given something to write on it with, or you already have a pen or something. Would you like to take that card now and I didn't know what colour it was going to be, so it's white on there, but it's yellow. Right. Derek's got spares for anybody who hasn't got one. Just right across the top of it, who am I? Who am I? Okay. And then underneath that, I'd like you to either draw or write four or five things that define you as a person. So if it was me, I might be writing a vicar, husband, granddad, and a bit of a computer geek. I noticed the last one, particularly last Sunday, we were visiting another church on holiday, and they also use Easy Worship. And the person doing the projection just got muddled a bit and couldn't work out how to do something. And I had to resist the temptation, sit on my hands, not to go across and show them what needed doing. Anyway, that's me. Would you like to write or draw four or five things that you think define who you are? And I'll give you about a minute to do that, so not terribly long. Some of you obviously have a very clear sense of who you are. You've written it down. Some of you are quite challenged by that. And some of you are obviously writing an essay. Okay, put those just on one side for the moment. You can complete it later if you only got to two or three. In our reading today, which is an Old Testament reading from fairly late on, God is portrayed as a father to Israel. If you've still got that reading in front of you. Verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And again in verse 10. God is pictured as a father and Israel as his son, a child. When we think of God as Father, for some of us that's a great image. For some of us it's an awful image because our own experience of our Father was not that great. And your memories aren't necessarily that pleasant. So what kind of a Father is God? What kind of a Father is he? The words that we heard in that reading, which we've been assembling into collages, which we'll have a look at in a minute. The words we get in today's reading are a mixture of all sorts of things, including different names for God's people. So we have Israel, we have Ephraim, we have child, we have son. And also some very human actions of God towards his children. He talks about loving them, calling them, teaching them, lifting them up. We've been building up, it's great having these words, but I'm going to turn them around for a minute, because we've been building up over the last few weeks a collage of different images of God and different words that describe God. And I've chosen four to add to our picture of who God is as a Father. And I was interested earlier on, two of the four you thought of and two of them you didn't. But four words that convey the kind of Father that God is. I wonder if somebody could come and help pin those up for me. Matthew's got his hand up. Sorry, Jane. Matthew. Right. The first word is that God is loving as a Father. There are some pins up there as well. God is loving. When Israel was a child, I loved him, God says. Verse 4, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. God isn't indifferent towards his children. He's not absent like some human fathers are. He's not uninvolved in his children's lives. He's there with them. He would be down on the floor playing with the Lego. He would be singing the nursery rhymes. He'd be reading the books. He'd be changing the nappy. God is involved with his children, showing his love with cords of human kindness, it says, with ties of love. And the second word doesn't actually appear in the passage, but its nature does. It's nurturing. Nurturing. God didn't want Israel just to stay as a baby. He wanted them to grow up towards maturity. He said, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. It was I who healed them. I bent down to feed them. God the Father wants his children to grow up to maturity, and he's actively involved in nurturing them, in caring for them, in helping their development. He teaches them to walk. He will be taking them to the park. He will be teaching them how to ride the bike. He nurtures his children. The next one, unsurprisingly, is a word that nobody came up with earlier on in our earlier activity, because the word is pained. I'd like to put that up, Matthew. Verses 2 and 7 tell of how Israel rejected God as their father. They rejected him. They behaved like a defiant two-year-old, or perhaps more like a rebellious teenager. It says in verse 2, the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. Verse 7, my people are determined to turn from me. Any of you parents recognize that from any of your children when they grew up? You get a sense of the pain in the father heart of God as he sees his children lead wayward lives. He's exasperated with them, and he's heartbroken, but he doesn't give up. Later on in the New Testament, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son and how the father, half of the parable is really about the father was waiting at the farm gate, daily looking with longing down the lane, heart-racked with pain, yearning for his son's return. And eventually, when he glimpses him in the distance coming home, head bowed down, the father runs to embrace him. There's pain in the father's heart that his son has rejected his ways and his love, but he longs for reconciliation. So there's pain in God's heart when his children reject him. Fourthly, and this is another word we did have, Matthew, if you would put up that, God the Father is faithful. Though there is anger in his heart at what's become of his children, he doesn't unleash his anger on them. Verse 8, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger. I will not come in wrath, he says. And amazingly, the prodigal son is welcomed home. And rather than facing anger at his reckless spending of the inheritance he's been given, rather than being reprimanded, he's forgiven. And the party is thrown to welcome him home. The father has not given up on his son, but remains faithful to his son, even after the son has squandered all of the father's money. So four words from that Old Testament passage portrait of God as a father, that he's loving, nurturing, that he is pained by his children's rejection, and that he is faithful. Of course, the New Testament... Oh, sorry, meant to put those up as we went along. The New Testament, though, develops that picture of God as Father from our side, as his children. It tells the story of the prodigal son to help us grasp what it's like for us to be loved by our Father God despite our rebellion against him. And then Jesus goes on to tell us to call God our Father when we pray. And he says elsewhere, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister. He calls us his family. And later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter calls the church the family of God. The most important relationship in that family is not actually the horizontal relationship we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the vertical relationship that we each individually have with God as our Father, as his children. A child. We're each a child of the same Heavenly Father. It's wonderful here at St. Mary's that we can share in fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But that, even more wonderful than that, and underpinning all of those relationships, is the fact that each of us who's come to Jesus has a relationship with God as our Father. So take another look at your card, because more important than any relationship you have with anyone else, more important than anything you do, is the fact that you are a child of God. So I'd like you to turn over your card and write on the other side, in the middle, I am a child of God. I'd like to write that now, because this is personal, this is intimate. This is between you and God. You are his child. He loves you as a loving father would. Those four words that we came up with describing how God is towards you describe how you are in his eyes. You are loved, You might like to write these down on your card as we go through these. You are loved. He loves you as so much that he gave the very best thing he had. He gave his son, Jesus, his only begotten son, Jesus, for you. He loves you that much. And then you are being nurtured. He's put his Holy Spirit in you to develop the family likeness in you, to develop his image in you. You are being nurtured by God. And yes, we each have the capacity to cause him pain when we reject him, when we sin against him. His heart is broken when we turn our backs on him, when we ignore his wishes for our lives. So yes, it's worthwhile reminding ourselves that when we do that, we do cause him pain. And yet when we do sin, we are forgiven as we come back to him. We are always welcomed back into his arms because he is faithful. He's tender towards us. He longs for restoration. He doesn't give up on you. No matter what happens, no matter what we do to him, think of the prodigal son, spurning everything the father had invested in him. But the father didn't give up. The father remained faithful. The father forgave him. And God will always welcome you as you turn to him. It doesn't matter where you are in your discipleship journey. God loves you tenderly as your perfect heavenly father. If you're a baby Christian, he wants to feed you when you're hungry. He wants to change your nappy when you make a mess. He wants to wind you when you're pained. If you're a bit older as a Christian, he wants to teach you to walk on your own. He wants to teach you to read his word. He wants to teach you to talk so you can pray to your heavenly Father and to listen so you can discern his voice and his leading. And if you're older still as a Christian, he wants you to grow in maturity. He wants you to learn to live by the values he has been teaching you. He has nurtured within you. He wants you to grow to maturity in the likeness of his son, Jesus. Each of us, day by day, growing in his likeness. Each of us bearing his image. Can I encourage you to take that card home with you? And each day this week, whenever you come to pray or to read the Bible, look at that card as a reminder that you are a beloved child of your Heavenly Father, that he wants you to grow in him, that your sin causes him pain, but as you come to him and ask for forgiveness, he always, always welcomes you back into his loving arms. He welcomes you home. It could be, actually, you're here this morning and wouldn't call yourself a Christian at all. God longs to welcome you into his family. He sent his son Jesus so that, and this is in the words of John's gospel, so that all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. As we come to Jesus, or as we come to God through Jesus, we are born again into God's family. And from that point on, we're forever his children.